Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Seekest thou the road to all that's foul and fair? Gather sisters, fire, water, earth, and air. Darkest hour, wake thy power, earthly and divine. Burn and brew with coven true, and glory shall be thine.
Welcome to the Lorehounds. I'm still doing my singing shit. One of these days, Sean will join me, but I don't think today is it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Today's not it. Hi, I'm Sean.
And I'm Alicia, and this is MC Universe, part of the Comics Verses on the Lorehounds.
We're here today to talk episode 5 of Agatha All Along, Darkest Hour, Wake Thy Power.
We'll be launching right into spoilers, so make sure you're caught up before listening on. And fair warning, we reserve the right to bring up anything else we might find relevant from either the MCU or Marvel Comics.
We also want to hear and discuss your thoughts about the show and everything else. Please send your feedback to mcu@thelorehounds.com. You'll find that link in the show notes. Voicemails encouraged as well.
All right, John. So episode 5, Darkest Hour, Wake Thy Power. What did you think?
It's my favorite episode.
Okay, cool. Yeah, talk more.
This is my favorite episode. And I think I mentioned on the Discord, this quite possibly could be, maybe, absolutely is kind of, sort of my favorite MCU TV show. And you know how big of a Loki stan that I am, but this show is great. And this episode was awesome. I thought it was the whole vibe, the whole horror movie vibe was really good. I just really liked what they did with each character here. And I also liked that we got resolutions now instead of at the end of the season. This was a great spot for me to come to realizations about certain characters, and I was really happy about that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that is exciting that we're getting such big reveals with 4 episodes left. So
yes.
Yeah, can I say every week is my favorite, but maybe this is funny because I was just watching like 2 of the films that it references are definitely The Craft, literally says that, and also the whole Ouija board thing. We'll talk about it. And Poltergeist, which I was just watching both of those for Spooktober thing reasons. I'm like, this is just so perfect. I feel like I'm going to rewatch this show every Halloween. And yeah, this is fast on its way to becoming number 1. I'm reluctant to say that before I see it land the plane, but
yeah,
if it just keeps building the way it's been building, it could blow everything else out of the water.
I agree. Totally. I agree. And again, this is I'm the biggest Loki stan. So it's just really, I didn't think something could outdo my love for that show. But this, through the first 5 episodes, and like you said, We have to see if they can pull it off all the way to the end. But mm-hmm. so far, this has been really great storytelling.
Yeah. I mean, it could just get better. That's what I'm hoping for that it's, yeah. I can't wait to see where it's going because I have a feeling they're going to keep subverting our expectations.
Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
All right, well, let's get into it. So we're going to focus first on the recap, and then we'll sort through our newest character clues and revelations, and we'll end with feedback from the community. So episode 4 is called
Darkest Hour, Wake Thy Power.
And that is from the Sacred Chant version of the ballad again. The director for this episode is Rachel Goldberg, so the same director as the last 2 weeks. So I'm wondering if this might signal a change, an end to this trials arc that's been going on for these 3 episodes. Mm. Maybe they're going to mix things up. I don't know. We'll see. The writers, Laura Monti, who is a script coordinator on Frozen 2 and a coordinator on WandaVision. And this is like another one where, yeah, fresh face that takes a swing and nails it. So Darkest Hour, Wake Thy Power. Seems like a couple people's powers got woken. One especially we've been waiting for. Can we say it, Jean? Given the spoiler warning, can we say it?
I mean,
can
we call it? Let's call it. Yeah, let's go. Go ahead.
I mean, this is, they just basically told us without saying the actual word, for sure, Tina's Wiccan. I mean, we always knew it, but, you know, that's one, it's especially reasons like, let's just let this cat out of the bag and see where it goes from there.
Yeah. Very glad that they did this now. Very happy that it didn't drag on until the end of the season. So this was a perfect ending for me.
Yeah. And do you want to remind people who don't know who Wiccan is?
Yeah, so Wiccan is Billy Kaplan. He's the son of Wanda Maximoff. And I'll have some things to say about the Maximoff part. So he's Scarlet Witch's son, which we've been alluding to for the last, 4 episodes of the pod.
And, yeah, as soon as he was cast, it was like, come on, obviously. Yeah,
exactly. So that's who Wiccan is. Magic, witch, chaos agent, however you want to call him. So yeah, we'll see how it plays out, but this is pretty much confirmation in our minds that he is the Wiccan.
Yeah. And they've been setting up, they've been introducing a lot of characters who are a member of the Young Avengers in the comics. And they really seems like they're setting up this Young Avengers lineup with, you know, Yelena Belova and just a whole bunch
Riri
of them.
Williams.
Like, yeah.
Eli Bradley.
Bradley. Patriot. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And we've got the new Hawkeye, Kate.
Kate Bishop.
Mm-hmm.
So they're, like you said, they're setting up a lot of the younger heroes.
And Ms. Marvel, of course.
Right.
Kamala Khan, yeah.
So we've talked about that stuff before as well, about the next generation of the heroes in the Avengers universe.
Yeah.
So we'll see if that comes to fruition.
But Wiccan's a key member of that team, so, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So it made sense to that this will be a character that sticks on from here. And yeah, we'll talk more about that whole your mother thing, Agatha said later. Do you want to summarize the first scene?
Yeah, let's do it. Fly, my pretties. The Salem Seven sneak onto the road, hunting Agatha. After the women failed to seal the portal they opened when they summoned their new Green Witch, the coven evades them using makeshift flying broomsticks until they're forced back down onto the road and rush into a log cabin that's waiting there.
So, yeah, we hear when the Salem Seven come up, they whisper, find her, find them. So they're not only after Agatha, they're kind of after them all at this point. And they pick up this black stone and all huddle around it, which is, I recognize it as obsidian, which Game of Thrones fans will know as dragonglass. But I had to look up what is it especially known for in witchcraft. And it's known for earthy energy, healing, sharpening the mind, and probably what's relevant here is protection while traveling. protects you from evil spirits. So maybe it's funny to think they think of Agatha as an evil spirit, but we're like, no, you are spooky as hell. You look pretty evil.
I mean, to them, when we find out who they are, that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As
yeah.
to why they would think they need protection from her as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So Lilia, true to her talent, is the first one to realize she's coming. But yeah, we find out that, well, first, there's this lovely moment that leads into it where Rio defends her girl. So we have to listen to that for a moment.
When Agatha killed her original coven
by stealing their power.
Because her own mother tried to have her executed.
Are you really defending a noted serial killer, you creepy lurker?
Come on, someone finish the story.
So
I'm
going to
use that creepy lurker. That's going to be added to the lexicon.
Was really being salty this episode.
I think she's after her own thing, and she's done being used and put to the back burner. You know, she wants her power back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she makes that clear. Okay, so shall we finish this story? Who does it turn out the Salem Seven are?
They are the children of the people she murdered.
Murders, yeah, it's a choice. Maybe, because I have questions we'll talk about later about her ability to control. But yeah, we saw in WandaVision in 1693 in Salem, Massachusetts, her mother's coven attacked her. And she just ended up absorbing the power. But well, yeah, we got another clip of that again today in this episode. So there must be, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if she has full control. She says that she does not.
You but believe her?
Yeah, we'll talk about it more later. But
okay. All right.
I don't think she's purely evil, as her mother says, but no. Yeah, she spared the Salem Seven. I mean, she just basically, she killed that coven when they were attacking her, and then their children continued to live. So they're not her grandchildren like in the comics, but they're kind of like spiritual cousins.
I mean, yeah, they're part of the coven. Her coven is family, you know, not all family is blood. So there's some sort of familial relationship between her and the Salem Seven. But at the end of the day, for them, she's the person who took the lives of, you know, their moms.
Yep.
So no matter how we know, try to parse that, that's still what it boils down to. So for them, this is not something that's easily forgotten or forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Hence why they want to see her buried in the ground.
Yeah. And Agatha, as always, takes away the best possible moral from the situation.
The moral of the story, kids, is always finish what you started. Also, mercy is overrated.
But then, of course, she's asking for mercy later on this episode.
Yeah, but it's overrated. Don't ever forget that.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like she says a lot of things to project a certain personality it's a lot of bravado. Like Rio calls it out for it directly later.
No, I agree. I think I'm of the, is everything that we know that we've heard about her, is it all true?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Or is it, you know, a facade?
Yeah. Yeah. So what did you think of the Salem Seven themselves now that we got to see more?
Man, those great. Just the way that they've captured, the way they have to move about, the physical space that they inhabit on screen, just really, really great. If you take them out of this show and put them in another show, they're still scary as hell, right?
Mm-hmm.
So great representation of something that the people on the show themselves, those characters, are fearful of, and we get to see why they're fearful of, right? Because they do emanate that sort of vibe when you watch them on screen. Just everything about them, from, you know, the mask and the robes. And again, I just really love how they capture how they move in that creepy, what was that, that, what is that movie? I'm trying to remember.
The Ring?
Yes, 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 yeah. In that way. So really, really great reputation to make you scared.
I saw there was a clip on the internet of one of them was on America's Got Talent or whatever that show is called as a contortionist.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But they are a bit different from the comics, not just in how they're related to Agatha. They are, in this case, they fully shift into animals, whereas in the comics, some of them just shifted into like kind of animals, like humans with like snake arms, you know, sort of thing. but in this case, we have the animals that they turn into are cicada, not bees. People keep saying bees. Cicada, crow, fox, snake, rat, coyote, and owl. And unlike the comics, they're all women. So that was a choice. And Snake's the only animal that overlaps with the animal types in the comics. I miss my favorite, I think, of the... So in the comics, they're called Salem's Seven instead of the Salem Seven. So my favorite of Salem's Seven is Gazelle because she's always she's always the one who's getting shat upon. Like if the group decides they need to sacrifice one of them, guess who it is? It's Gazelle. If a character's randomly getting eaten in the background by some monster, guess what? It's Gazelle.
Like, should we be laughing at that?
I feel like it's kind of played for laughs, but I do feel for Gazelle. She's my favorite, so I miss her. but the one with the cicadas where they swooped back down and, you know, swooped past with this, all the cicadas coming out of her mouth, that is Vertigo, which is the name of the leader in the comics. But in the comics, Vertigo doesn't shift. Here she does shift. So I was wondering if Vertigo might have pulled down the brooms because that's her power in the comics is stuff like that. Yeah.
That remains to be seen. That remains to be seen.
Or does she just shift? Which is fine, you know, but just wondering.
Or did somebody else do it?
But it's weird. She's the only one where they kept the name Vertigo. They're like, I want to make sure, because she's, I guess, the leader in the comic, but still, it's notable that they kept the name. What did you think of the Hexenbesm, the witch's broom ritual?
I thought that was cool. They didn't just pick up like a branch or a stick. And immediately, you know, it was able to go. Like, they had to, you know, enchant it. They had to make it happen. Practical magic, right? So I really like that the circle that they had to walk around in a circle chanting their enchantment was really cool. And that it didn't have to look like a broom. You know what I mean? I appreciated that.
Lilia says you could have tried harder to Jennifer.
yes. Like, look at this, you know, branch that you gave me. Like, what is this?
I put flowers on yours.
So I like the representation that they did with how, you know, the things that we are meant to think of when we think of witches is not necessarily so, right? And I think they're doing a very good job of that this show.
Yeah. I really liked that it was a coven of two, coven two, as Agatha said last week. But it was something you had to do in cooperation with someone else. And I thought that was cool. Right. But I did like what Lilia said. That was funny. She said,
"This is so humiliating. Here.
Why does your generation hate them so much?
Brooms have been co-opted by the Holiday Industrial Complex as an absurd emblem of our culture. Worse yet, they're an obvious symbol of female domesticity.
And they're basic."
That was great. They're basic.
They're basic.
Like, if you're going to give us something, you know, at least make it fly. You know what I mean? Like, make it dope. Don't give me this, you know, a broom. You know, it's like, don't let that represent.
Yeah. So where it comes from in history is that apparently it was used in pagan ritual where, like, they would do a ritual to make the crops grow, and they would like straddle brooms and jump up in the air to say like the crops should grow this high. So it does have, and I guess, you know, the pagan rituals got associated with witchcraft and et cetera, the rest is history. Although there is, I do have to address, there is another thing that people like to say, which does have some truth to it, is that sometimes to apply medication or some other drug, it was believed the best way to do it was through a place where the skin is thin, you know, like the areas yes. between your legs. So, and the best way to do it would be to rub a broom back there. So those are the real origins of the broom myth. But we got that classic image of the witch flying in front of the moon.
Which was great. Which was yeah. great. So, such a...
The blood moon.
Yeah, such a wonderful visual. So many, you know, just so many memories of something like that on screen. E.T., you know, just countless, you know, Halloween photos and things from childhood that you think about. That was just a great visual. Just really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and even Lilia got into it. She's like, I haven't done this in centuries. Yeah, it was a really nice and fun moment. So I knew that something horrible was going to happen.
Oh, you knew at that at exactly that moment.
Yeah, I was like, oh no, they're having too much fun. It's going to go bad. Goodness
gracious.
But it was interesting the pairings we had. So we had Agatha and Rio. And did you notice that Agatha sent Rio a longing look while they were in the air and then like kind of caught herself? Like she was remembering. That. Like she was remembering some adventure.
Oh, yes, that they had before. Yes.
Lily and Jennifer seem to be continuously paired up. That makes sense too. And then Alice and Teen. Oh, Teen was like so happy that he got to be part of the coven.
Yes, he did.
No.
But is he part of the coven? He really part of the coven?
He's part of Alice's coven too, at least for the broom thing.
You see how long that lasted.
Yeah, well. But she did protect him before they took off. She was yes. being a very good protection witch this episode. Too good.
Too good, yeah.
Yeah. She was too nice. So nice characters always die, which I think is bullshit. Nice characters should get to live.
Yeah, nice people do live, you know? It's true. The nice person doesn't always bite it at the end. You know, sometimes we get to live. I said we as if I'm a very nice person. I am.
You are a nice person.
You know, we get to live, you know, long, mm-hmm. fruitful lives, hopefully. So, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any more thoughts on this opening scene, pre-cabin?
No, I just thought it was great. The whole chase scene. I love the fact that they're on the road and then they hear, you know, the Salem Seven both in front and behind them, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like this corralling of the prey. Just, mm-hmm. yeah, just good stuff, man. Just good stuff.
Yeah. No, it was such a good opening, which is why I was like, this episode took me on the entire roller coaster of emotions. And this was, yeah, I was still on a warm glow from the end of the last one. And then, you know, this picked back up at that and then, ugh.
And really good foreshadowing. Mm-hmm. By showing us, you know, Agatha's witch trial in which she drained the life force from the coven, you know, originally, which is how she became the myth that she is in witch circles. So it was a good foreshadowing of what's going to take place in this episode.
All right. Well, let's get into what's going to take place in this episode after a quick break.
It's wild and wicked, winding through the wood, where all that's wrong is right, and all that's bad is good. Many miles of tricks and trials, we wander high and low. Tame your fears, the door appears, the time has come to go.
I had to pick that one for you because you said it was your favorite of the three.
Yeah, I love that bluesies vibe to it. I love that bluesies, you know. This shit is going down type of vibe. I love it. Really good stuff.
You want to set us up for a spooky slumber party?
All right. So inside the cabin, their new wardrobe change goes full 80s. Looking for a way to start the trial, a Ouija board flies off a shelf at So they read the rules and begin. Agatha, whom Rio says is scared, making a joke of being possessed by Mrs. Hart.
Yeah, so we find out that this is the Blood Moon trial, which, and a blood moon is just another name for a total lunar eclipse, because when the sunlight is blocked from the moon, as we look at it through our atmosphere, it's, yeah, the light looks red. So we call it the Blood Moon. It's not a phase of the moon like the others, but it is like a state of the moon. And by the way, the next one in our world is March 13th and 14th of 2025. And I thought this was funny. So in 2014 and 2015, there were four blood moons in a row, which is just something that happens sometimes. And there were a couple pastors prophesied that it was the beginning of the end times. And apparently in the book of Joel, it says, the sun will turn into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes.
Yeah, be very wary of those who tell you the end is nigh.
Mm-hmm. By this. No, I don't know if they, I don't know. I have to assume they were genuine. I don't really know. I didn't look that deep.
No, I'm not saying that they're not genuine.
Yeah.
I'm just saying be very skeptical.
Yeah.
At least I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, they did, by the way, sell books. So, saying. But yeah, so the blood moon in witchcraft, it's associated with like transformation, revelation, or working through challenges. It's also, in certain Wiccan writings, it's a name for the month of October. But I have to say, like, Wiccan or general broader witchcraft beliefs are kind of all over the place because they evolved in many places with many different backgrounds. So, but there is in the show, they say that the blood moon is associated with like a thinning of the barrier to the spirit world. And there are definitely Wiccans who say, during an eclipse, the cosmic alignment is not just spectacle, it's a bridge. This alignment makes it easier to connect with deity spirits and universal energies, offering clarity, guidance, and sense of unity. So as usual, this show has been doing its research. They also, by the way, so in order to evoke the spirit, Agatha says, Maiden Mother Crone, spirits be known. And Maiden Mother Crone could be a reference to Hecate, who is a Greek goddess who's like considered the mother of witches in Greek mythology, but then thus like in wider folklore. And she was, she is of course also a character in Marvel Comics, because everyone from folklore is a character in Marvel.
But the interesting thing is she's more of a focal or major character in DC Comics, in the Wonder Woman, you know, pantheon, hierarchy, stories than she is in Marvel Comics. So it's interesting that they would.
But she does appear in the Witch's Road series.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's like this series is largely based on. So that's why I think that could be a reference to her, but it just is also a broader reference. And yeah, I should have known it was Agatha's trial when I pointed out the purple leaves last week, but I thought Agatha's would be the last trial, but they are subverting expectations.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
So speaking of subverting expectations, future editor Alicia here checking back in, just because Jean and I have been talking about something the past couple days that I felt like I, you know, I have the chance to bring it up. So here we go, which is his niece brought up to him the idea that this might not have been Agatha's trial, that it might have been Teen's trial. I have also heard people speculate that it was Rio's trial. And for me, at first, I was like, nah, I think it's Agatha's because of her family, you know, because it's about her family. It's about what's happening to her. But as John and I continued to talk about it, I was thinking that, well, actually, what we saw is that after each member of the coven, and yes, I'm calling Teen or Wiccan a member of the coven, after each member of the coven went through their trial, they had access to their powers. So maybe that would explain unlocking his powers. However, definitely far from settled on it. And let's get back to me talking about why I think it's Agatha's trial. Yeah. And so her element, you know, she's not earth, air, fire, or water. Her element is spirit, which is the fifth element in many Wiccan practices. So like you might know that pentagrams or a five-pointed star are often associated with witchcraft. And there's a five elements there. And yeah, I just wanted to back this up, dissect the second verse of the chant version of the song. So we're just going to listen to it real quick.
Marching ever forward neath the wooded shrine, I stray not from the path, I hold death's hand in mine. Primal night giveth sight, familiar by thy side. If one be gone, we carry on, spirit as our guide.
So it's especially the last part that I was interested in. If one be gone, we carry on, spirit by our side.
As our guide.
Spirit as our guide, yes. So I think that's referring to Agatha.
She's the guide on this.
On this, yeah, trip through the road.
On this tour.
Uh-huh.
Is she really a guide? Has she been on this tour before?
Has she? I mean, there are people who doubt it, but she does seem to know the rules better than anyone else except Teen, who seems to oddly know them best.
Yes, indeed.
I love the wardrobe changes again. We get the amulets incorporated into their clothing. So just like sometimes it's in the stitching details on what they're wearing or a hair clip. So I love how they're playing with that. I thought it was funny. Why is Patti LuPone the only one dressed as a mom? They're like mostly women over 40. Why is she the only one dressed like a mom? She's got the mom cut. And it seems Teen lost his spell book on the broom.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know. I wonder if it's going to turn up in a random way or I don't know. They've called so much attention to that spell book.
They have. Is it a spell book?
Yeah.
What kind of book is it?
Well, yeah, they did use it to bring Easy's Never Green Rio into the picture.
Yes, they did.
Being green is never easy. Wait, it isn't easy being green. How does it go again?
It isn't easy being green.
Being green, yeah, okay.
I mean, so, you know, we've talked about that book for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you like the vibes of this one? Are you a fan of like Poltergeist, Exorcist, The Craft?
You know, I didn't get that vibe. I got the vibe of like Friday the 13th.
Oh yeah, that too.
That's
yeah.
What I got. I felt like, you know, I'm waiting for Jason to come through the door, you know, with a machete or something like that. So yeah, I got that, you know, 80s camp.
Yeah.
Horror film vibe. So I thought it was cool. I thought it was apropos for what the series is doing and very much on brand.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that they did a really good job just like nailing the overall kind of genre and weaving a bunch of things together. You know, like I talked about The Craft gets the name check and plus it's a sleepover plus the sequel, a Ouija board's really important in the sequel to The Craft. By the way, that's one of the Spooktober specials will be on the Wolf Shift Dust feed this week. So awesome. If you want to revisit The Craft. Jean, did you guys and your friends, did you ever do like Ouija board or light as a feather, you know, stiff as a board stuff?
My wonderful better half, mm-hmm. We were watching it and afterwards she said, did you Ouija when you were a kid? And I'm like, nope, I'm from Brooklyn. We don't do that. We didn't do no Ouijas. This is like, that's purely a Midwestern suburban thing. I know you Ouija'd.
And of course I'm not from the Midwest. But.
Well, you're from outside of Philly.
I am from the suburbs.
Okay,
yes.
All right, there you go. So it wasn't a thing that we did. So I didn't Ouija when I was a kid. Nah,
okay,
never did that.
I don't know. I feel like, or maybe it was, well, no, there were boys who did it with us too.
I don't know. None of my, I will poll my friends to see who Ouija'd amongst my group, my cohort. And I don't know if anybody has Ouija. Like, we're, you know, BK kids, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't think we did that.
Yeah. I grew up in an area, though, where, like, ghost stories and stuff were big, very prominent, you know, very...
Ah, we didn't have ghost stories. We had crackhead stories. We didn't have ghost stories.
you didn't need to make up things to scare you.
Ah, man. So, yeah, we didn't Ouija. I didn't Ouija. But we watched all those movies, though, you know what I mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can remember watching those movies on VHS. My gosh, when I was shouldn't have been able to watch them because I was so young. You know, these were not meant for me, but we watched them, you know? And it's just a lot of those things that they, you know, reference, I only watched them later on in life. Like, I didn't get to see those things in theaters properly, you know?
No, I mean, you know, I was too young for they're referencing a lot of, especially like 70s, 80s movies. But I did as a kid, I also watched scary horror movies a lot as a probably too young of age. And I loved the Exorcist series. Like, I especially would watch, or only the first three were out then, I guess. So yeah, that was fun. We saw The Possession in this episode. We saw that upside down crab walk, which comes from the longer cut. Yeah.
That was great. That was great. That was like Evil Dead. That was awesome.
And I also, I watched The Poltergeist just like, just a few days ago, really, because it is the topic of the Lorehound Spooktober special. So yeah, I noticed there's the static TV in the background, but also like just the fact that Agatha's on the ceiling, there's this iconic moment from the end where somebody goes on the ceiling like that. So yeah, it was definitely, it was capturing all those vibes. It was nailing it.
Yeah, it was good stuff, man. It was, like I said, the show is doing everything that it needs to do, and it's hitting all the right notes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's something that I've watched that I've reflected on, and I said to myself, "Oh no, they shouldn't have done that," or "Oh no, that doesn't fit with the vibe."
Right.
There's nothing like that for me so far. I would love to hear if anybody has that experience with anything in these episodes, because that would be fascinating for me to try to, you know, make sense of. But I just haven't gotten that from this series. I think everything that they're doing is spot on.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and they nailed the whole Ouija experience. So the Ouija board, by the way, if you pause and look at it, it was labeled Salem, Massachusetts. So that was kind of a warning right away about what was going to like come out of this trial. But then before they get started, we get Teen, he reads out the rules.
Number one, do not use the Ouija board alone. Number two, do not speak over each other.
It's not written there. Show me that.
Three. Do not taunt the spirits.
What?
I repeat, do not taunt the spirits. Four, do not ask about death. Five, always end your session with goodbye. Six, do not under any circumstances remove your hand from the planchette. If you do so, a spirit will be released.
And then we get Agatha starts it up, but she pretends to be Sharon, which, and then Rios calls her out and says that she's scared. Were you fooled by her pretending to be?
I was not.
No.
I was not. And I was not happy. You know, don't besmirch Sharon that way.
Yeah.
No. Well,
first of all, Sharon would not put Mrs. Hart on the board. She would say Sharon Davis.
That's
constantly correcting them. But did you know that the entire internet is obsessed with the idea that instead of Mrs. Hart, it said Mr. Shart? Ha ha.
I did not. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. No, I didn't know that.
But then Agatha, she played possessed. Well, don't play possessed, lest you become possessed.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you want to set up the next part of the scene?
Yeah. So let's continue with Evil Incarnate. The group returns to the Ouija board and makes contact with the ghost of Agatha's mother, Eve Nora, who calls herself Death to Rio's amusement. Eve Nora wants her daughter punished, saying she was born evil and possessing her. Alice uses her powers to expel her from Agatha, who proceeds to absorb Alice's magic. Teen, noticing another spirit's presence, tries to stop Agatha by shouting its name, Agatha's son, Nicholas Scratch. Agatha stops, but Alice dies.
Yeah, that was a whole roller coaster that went on there.
Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah. It starts light with the whole, so yeah, the spirit calls herself Death, which she's not. She's Evanora Harkness. And Rio laughs. And Teen says, we're not supposed to talk about death. And I just happened to look at like what was the out of those rules that he read out, which rule was that? And that was rule number 4, which is interesting because in East Asian superstition, 4 is associated with death because apparently it sounds similar in Chinese to that word.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I wonder if they did that on purpose. They must have, right?
They had to. They had to have done that on purpose.
And then we get this brutal confrontation with Agatha and her mother, which of course Agatha has to like be jokesy about it first.
Who are you?
Evanora Harkness of the Salemites.
Hey, Mom. It was nice having you in my body for a second there. I've never felt so close to you before.
My coven risked everything to kill her, and you fools have willingly joined her.
Stop embarrassing me in front of my friends, Mom.
So are you team Agatha or team Evanora?
Neither one. I think they're both like, I think having a mom who despises you from the minute that you were born can't help but shape your outlook on life and the world.
Mm-hmm.
So we people talk about whether it's nature or nurture, right? And for Agatha, I want to say it's nature, right? That she's inclined, she's born to be this way. But is she really? Because listening to her mom, I can only imagine what she went through as a child, as an adult, growing with someone who clearly is, you know, hopefully loves you like no one else can ever, just simply hate you, hates your very existence. What does that do to a person?
Yeah.
How does that shape their world? So while I'm not team Agatha, I can understand Agatha's entire outlook on life, on the world, of power, and what it means to wield it, and why I need to wield
it. Mm-hmm.
It's understandable. Because that, for that to be your mom, goodness gracious.
Yeah. Yeah, so just take a moment to listen to the Born Evil clip that you referenced.
Mom, why do you hate me still?
You were born evil. I ought to have killed you the moment you left my body.
That's tough.
Yeah, everyone looks like they feel sorry for her, even Jennifer at that moment. But, so recently I was reading Thanos Rising, which is a 2013 miniseries of 5 issues. And I noticed that's actually a part of his story arc, that his mom wanted to kill him when he was born.
Yes, and what did he do to his mom?
Well, I mean, what did Agatha do to her mom?
But exactly. That's my point, right? That's exactly my point.
Yeah. But is it like, did they become what they would become because of that or not, you know? I also have to think about on the Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast, Marilyn and I were talking about these myths of the Old Republic, and one of them is about a Sith who he basically became a Sith because his mom thought that there was something wrong with him ever since he was born. So as soon as a Sith came along, she gave him away. Yeah, that seems like a parallel story too. Like, does your child become this thing because you assume that they will?
Nature or nurture?
Yeah. So Rio is adamant against leaving Agatha with Evanora. Do you think it's because she wants to protect Agatha, or do you think it's because she wants to take Agatha out herself?
I felt in that moment she wanted to protect her.
Because she defended her before, yeah, too. She's like, not you, lady.
Yeah. I felt in that moment she knows the history. And in that moment, I think she wanted to protect Agatha.
Yeah.
There's a shared history here between the two of them. You know, yep, that they know what each other has gone through. And her knowing that in that moment, you know, it's like, yeah, no, you're not going to do this. I may want to kill her, but I'm not going to watch you harm her.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But then Agatha shows her true colors again, or what? When Alice, you know, Alice seems surprised when she's able to do this orange magic, but she manages to push Agatha out of her, but then she has blasted her. And that means that Agatha just like starts kind of hungrily eating it up, it seems like. And like, it's almost like when you hear about a vampire tale, you know, where the vampire just can't stop drinking. That's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, my wife was crushed by this scene. Alice was her favorite character. And
yeah,
although I did not see it coming, I expected somebody to, I didn't expect all of them to make it to the end of the series. But I will say there is hope. We are keeping hope alive. We're keeping hope alive for Sharon.
Yes. And
we're going to keep hope alive for Alice. We're going to keep some hope alive around here. Because this podcast is about the positivity.
Well, I would just like to point out one thing. So these are Alice's own words. Alice singing this last episode. Down the witches, down, 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 wherever it may bend, I'll see you at the end. Oh, I'll see you at the end. She keeps singing, I'll see you at the end. Yeah. Over and over and over. So I'm keeping my hope alive.
Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive, people.
But what actually, I think Agatha did get her punishment. And what actually punished her was...
N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S-S-C-R-A-T-C-H. Nicholas Scratch. Nicholas Scratch!
So my interpretation is that the punishment was reminding Agatha of what happened with her son, and then team put the planchette on goodbye, which is the instruction. But what do you think?
I'm inclined to agree with you on that part. Like, she, yeah, in that moment, she remembered what happened. And whatever transpired, because we don't know whether she gave up her son or her son was taken from her for some reason, that's another thing that's obviously had its impact on who she is as a person, which again calls back to what I'm asking myself throughout the end of this episode, nature or is it nurture?
Mm-hmm.
And something that I thought of as I was watching her drain Alice, is this like her mutant power?
Oh. Or is she an inhuman? Kidding, they're never going to bring humans back.
Let's not even go there. But because not every witch can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
Not every witch can do this. Is this something that she learned how to do? Is this something that, because her mother said, you know, since she was, the minute she was born, is this something that is her nature?
Hmm. Yeah, I said before, I saw someone describe her as an addict, and I feel like that's what I definitely saw. But she said in the WandaVision flashback to Salem, and in this episode, she said that she's not in control of her magic and seemed to earnestly plea that she, she could be good. And I tend to think that maybe that is actually the truth. But then she doesn't want to be, she's been attacked her whole life and hated. And so she just puts on this bravado that she, when she sees it's going wrong, then she starts the wicked laughing. And maybe there is a desire for power, of course. They all admit to a desire for power except for Teen and I guess Alice, R.I.P. But I think that she is more vulnerable than she lets on. And Rio sees that, but none of the others around her now do.
I mean, there's no reason for them to see her vulnerability, because they've all heard and taken to heart the stories about her, right? About who she is, what she is, which got me thinking, like, who's her father?
Hmm.
How, because we speculate about Mephisto's role with Scarlet. Does he have a role with Agatha?
Mm, yeah.
Maybe hence why her mother says you were evil from birth. What makes her evil from birth?
Right. I wonder if we'll find out that her father was just like some ordinary man, but a bastard. Jerk.
Maybe. Or maybe he's, not an ordinary man at all.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Or maybe it was magic. I don't know. I'm just throwing these things
maybe
out.
Maybe Wiccan's her father. I'm kidding.
No. And I won't go that far. But, it's just, I'm really interested in knowing more about the genesis of her abilities,
mm-hmm.
how they came to be.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. All right, do you want to set up the last scene?
Yeah. Wiccan unleashed. Agatha insists killing Alice was an accident, but Teen is angry, especially when Lilia and Jen affirm that their goals are the same as Agatha's. When Agatha mocks Teen, telling him he's just like his mother, Teen magically forces Lilia and Jen into tossing Agatha into a mud trap, quicksand, if you will, for David, before blasting them in as well. As the witches sink, a crown similar to one Wanda Scarlet Witch used to wear appears on Teen's fin.
You should see me in a crown.
Do you have that one teed up, or what's going on?
Ladies and gents who can't see us, I have a Scarlet Witch crown that I just pulled out. But no, that was such a perfect needle drop with a Billie Eilish song. The lyrics are pretty on point. Like, watch me make them bow one by one by one. Yeah. Anyway, I recommend reading the lyrics to anyone who's not familiar with the song. But they've had some great. Like, because they're pulling from my music. Like, we got the Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs. We've got Billie Eilish now.
Right, right.
Rock style, very rock-leaning soundtrack. I'm happy.
Yeah, I'm not a Billie Eilish fan, but Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs all day and night.
Okay. So what do you think? So we saw in this last scene, Agatha, she found, like, this orange magic in her palm and watched it, like, fizzle out in her hand. Do you think it's not working for her properly? Because first of all, why is it orange? And second of all, it seemed, I don't know if she like snuffed it out oddly or if it wasn't working the way she wanted it to.
I don't know.
Because it's not her purple.
Yeah, I was confused by that. Like what power set that is.
Yeah.
Is it something that she got from Alice, because of her draining Alice? I don't know.
Hmm. Well, and then this, of course, this killing of Alice pissed off Teen, obviously, rightfully, and this happens.
How could you? How could you kill her?
I,
I couldn't control it.
Yes, you could have. Don't lie to me.
I'm not.
You wanted her power. That's what this has always been about for you, isn't it?
Of course it is. That's what all of this is about.
Jennifer.
For any of us.
Death comes for us all.
So that's what it means to be a witch?
No.
Killing people to serve your own agenda? No. Not for me.
I'm inclined to believe her tone of voice when she says she couldn't control it and that she's not lying. And then it's kind of, it was Jen who came in with the snark who, you know, changed the tone of it.
Yeah, again, I'm, this is a testament to her character work here, Catherine Hahn, that I'm not sure. Because at points, I'm of the mind that she is bullshitting everybody and putting on this facade of evil, tough, you know, murderous, just to keep people at bay, to scare them off, scare them away. But then I'm also of the mind, like, maybe she can't control. She's never learned how to control. She's trying to learn how to control, or was trying to learn how to control. Maybe using the book was a way for her to try to control her own wayward magic in a way she thought that Wanda's magic was wayward. But I still haven't decided on which side of the fence that I fall on.
Yeah.
I'm like 50-50 with her.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, I already said what I think. I am happy that we're at this like questioning breaking point middle in the series, because again, we have four more episodes to see where things go for here. Yeah. And we're already being asked, like, I feel like in a lot of Marvel shows, this would be the penultimate episode and we'd be like, how are they going to finish it? But no, it's like, oh, there's still a lot left, even though all the episodes are too short, of course. but so it's like, where are they going to take us? Like, I am so excited for every week. What is going to be, yeah, the next surprise setting and
et cetera, yeah, I think it's, again, I'm just really, really trying to figure out what her game is. Because I, like you said, everybody, they all want power. But to what end? That's my question.
Yeah. Okay. So did you notice, by the way, that Teen, once he got his magic, I feel, I don't know, I'm like, should I start calling him Billy or Wiccan?
Yes, let's call him Billy, Wiccan. We don't need to use Teen anymore.
All right.
At least for iPod. I mean, other people may not believe it, but...
I mean, the fact that they made his crown look so much like Scarlet Witch's, and then also... The way he was using his magic.
His hands.
Yeah, he was doing the wiggly fingers and he was doing the mind control like she did. Yeah, but it's not the color of her magic. It's the color of the energy.
The scepter from
From Loki, yeah. Yes. So it's basically it seems like some combination of those two things. But definitely he was using magic like who we assume Agatha was calling his mother.
But I think, am I wrong to say that they use the stone to get Agatha powers and Quicksilver as well? Wasn't that what they were doing?
Oh, you mean Scarlet Witch?
Wanda's power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was activated via the stone.
It was the Mind Stone. Right. The Mind Stone, yeah.
So
not the,
makes sense.
The Loki scepter was the Space Stone, right?
Was it? No. In the
from
Avengers,
the Tesseract?
From the Tesseract, wasn't it the Mind Stone? Because he used it to control. Yeah, he used it to. Well, you remember when they were on the helicarrier?
Okay.
And he.
Yeah, he was definitely using it to mind control people for sure.
I thought that was the Mind Stone. I didn't think it was. Maybe I'm.
Oh, you're right. It's the Mind Stone. You're right.
It's the Mind Stone.
But it was blue.
Right.
Because was blue in the scepter, and then suddenly they revealed it, and they're like, surprise, it's yellow.
And then, you know, for Wanda, her proximity to chaos magic, you know, to Mephisto, to the book, maybe changed that dynamic where he hasn't had that exposure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so the question is, if this is a reincarnated Billy, we'll say his last name's probably Kaplan instead of Maximoff, because
yes,
I mean, we don't know for sure that this is how it is, but so far they have not contradicted anything in the comics, which is that when the soul of her quote unquote fake children were dispersed, they ended up. Yeah, through mysterious events, it's hard to explain because the comics don't even fully explain it, but through mysterious events, they ended up going into these older boys' bodies, actually. So they're aged up from where they were when they disappeared in the comics and in WandaVision. And there were people who were raised by their families, but they also have her son's souls in them, too. Did I explain that poorly? Can you do better?
No. You explain it well. So again, that's my question, right? Where does his power come from?
But she created her quote unquote fake kids with the Mind Stone, right? With the energy of the Mind Stone that lives in her.
So it makes sense that the color of his magic would not match what we last saw from Wanda.
Right, but it doesn't match. Yeah, it's just they threw me by making the Mind Stone yellow.
Okay.
After it being blue at first. But anyway, yeah. Okay, well, let's get into some character clues and just a little character theorization after a quick break. Okay, so let's start with R.I.P. Alice. I guess, you know, we should have worried when her journey was completed last week.
I know, but I didn't get a sense of worry. They gave me nothing to think that this was going to be her end.
Mm.
You know, I felt like she got this big barrier, this big, you know, burden lifted off her shoulders. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's go. New Alice. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Then boom. No Alice. No. Yeah,
she was prime Alice this week. You know, she protected both Teen and Agatha. Yeah. And she was also one of the kinder ones in the whole punish Agatha discussion.
Yes.
And she seemed, so she unleashes when she instinctively goes to cast Evanora out of Alice, out of Agatha. She cast this orange, or let's call it coral magic. Coral Shore is a thing. It's her mom's rock band name, and it's a thing from the comics. But yeah, so she unleashes this orange magic, and she seems surprised by it, don't you think?
She didn't know she could do that. Yeah. She didn't know she could do that.
So she went out on top, which feels unfair.
It totally feels unfair. And the thing is, you know, we got Jennifer, who also completed her trial, but she's still around. So I didn't get a sense that, you know, completion of the trial means that that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you're out.
But Jennifer's completion didn't go as well as Alice's did.
Why do you say that?
Because Sharon died, for one.
But with Sharon, you know, we're not going to talk about Sharon's. We're not going to do that right now. You're not going to take me back down that path. No.
Sorry, we're mourning Alice this week.
Yeah. So, I just felt like I didn't see it coming. That's what I'm saying. I didn't see it.
Yeah. I mean, things were going too well for her, and that is one you wanted to complain. I hate that trope. Why can't people just do well? But as we said, I'll see you at the end.
Yeah, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive, folks.
She said so in her song. Jen, though, as I said, she was showing kind of like a cold streak this week. She's like, punish Agatha. Familiars don't get a vote. Although she does, to her credit, when Agatha's possessed and going after Teen, Jen distracts him. She's like, over here, which gets her choked. So that was one of the few times we see her do something selfless.
I mean, but, you know, her character was set up to be selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, all of them.
People eating, she has people eating candle wax. I mean, come on.
Yeah. No, I mean, she's great. I think she's actually maybe my favorite in the coven, but also I came in with a bias, so.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
But yeah, Lilia, we find out she's no angel either. She's been faking the talking to the dead thing in her shop. She's like, I read people, I read time, but the dead, talking to the dead was just a con.
I respect it. I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's 450 years old and she's got to do something.
She got to eat. You know, I have to respect that. She's not, you know, out there casting spells on people and making them walk into the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Giving them something. So I respect that.
Yeah. We only had one outburst from her this episode, which was after Agatha break from the board. She says, I hated this the first time. And Teen's like, she's being weird again.
Right.
I made a separate document where we can keep track of her outbursts over time. Yeah. So a lot of them are like the names of tarot cards, which we've already talked about. But I wanted to bring up that some things that people have been theorizing about online that make a lot of sense to me is in episode 2, one of the first things she does is like screams and says, get off me. And these may have been flashes to recent trials, like get off me might have been to the curse. Another thing that people are pointing out that makes sense is last episode, she turned to Alice and says, Alice, don't, and then loses her train of thought. And then, but in a previous episode, in episode 3, one of her outbursts was try to save Agatha. So what if she was like time slipping there, or whoever is speaking through her was time slipping there and started that Alice, don't, and then finished the sentence later, try to save Agatha.
What if it's Wiccan?
Or what if it's Wanda?
I mean, these are interesting questions you're posing.
So I'm wondering also if in that time slipping thing, if the other two that go together are around the campfire. She said, you know, we really kind of hated each other in the beginning, but now, and then she broke up. But the episode before that, she randomly said, I love you guys. So I'm wondering if that is something that will, which may I'm give back. Me hope for the future, because yes. That's definitely not something that applies yet.
I mean, they're dropping hints that, you know, they're dropping hints that we should keep hope alive. So right. That's what I'm going to keep doing until I'm proven wrong.
Right. Okay. All right. All right. So Rio Vidal, again, claims she wants to kill Agatha, but I'm still not sure she does. She hates ghosts. She laughs in the face of the name Death. And my biggest question, though, about her is where was she at the end of the episode? Yeah. She did not leave the trial with the other survivors.
Exactly. Where is she?
What is she up to? Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
I don't have thoughts. No.
Okay. Yeah, we'll just keep an eye on this, because the clues about her are stacking up. And she also says to Agatha, and who better to commune with the dead than someone who put so many in the grave? Anyway, and so then, yeah, that brings us to Teen, or Billy, we're calling him now.
Yes. Wiccan.
You're just like your mother, which we assume to be the Scarlet Witch, and it's got to be, or they, like, people will be so mad if it's not the Scarlet Witch at this point.
what if it's Agatha?
Oh, man.
Why did they put an okie doke and say, oh, you're just like your mother? She was talking about herself.
No, it's got. They've all but said the name Wiccan now. So, although he defended Agatha even in this episode up until the moment she killed Alice. That was his breaking point.
Yeah.
So they, by the way, they released tarot cards as merchandise to go along with this show, and I saw someone on the Agatha All Along subreddit called Yes That Finn talking about there was one tarot card that people hadn't been able to link to the other. So, okay, I'll just read this. They've said they've linked the previous cards to, they think that the death card is Rio Vidal because the version they've released has a black heart and is holding her dagger. A three of swords is Agatha Harkness because it was directly referenced in the show by Lilia when Agatha was worrying about Teen. And Queen of Cups, they think, is Lilia. High Priestess, Jennifer Kale. Obviously, we saw Lilia call Jennifer Kale High Priestess. Wands, Alice Wu Gulliver. It's a protection sort of thing. Three of Pentacles as the whole coven. The opening of the Witch's Road, because that's when Lilia said it. And the only card that people hadn't been able to match up with anyone was the Tower. And if you look on the Tower card, there's a blue crown on it, which is interesting. Because obviously we see Teen end the episode with a blue crown. And the card, basically, what it means is a sudden, devastating revelation and a change that turns the world completely on its head.
Hmm.
So,
Is that Wiccan or is that Scarlet Witch?
I mean, it has the blue crown, so it must be Wiccan. Oh, yeah, and we should point out, by the way, that his costume in the, or his wardrobe change in the trial this week was very Wiccan-coded. It was red, and he had a blue headband on, which is how he looks in the comics and how we saw him look for Halloween in WandaVision. But, okay, so the sigil seems to be gone. Agatha knows who he is. He knows who he is. Do you think that he forgot who he was and only just now realized, or do you think he was faking it?
I think he might have put the sigil on himself.
Yeah, could be.
I think he might have put the sigil on himself. And, you know, for the folks who were saying the sigil was an M, because stand for Mephisto, I think it might actually stand for Maximoff.
Yeah, it could. Or it could be a W for Wiccan.
For Wiccan.
Mm-hmm.
Or Wanda.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many ways to think of what the sigil script could have meant. So I wonder if they'll, you know, give us that at the end of the show or at some point in the behind the scenes or things of that nature.
Yeah, maybe he wanted to, he lost his power or something because of the sigil, whether it was him or Wanda or someone else. And that is why he was on the Witch's Road for all of his protestations of, you know, I'm here for the right reasons. Maybe he was also just in it for the power.
But maybe that is the right reason. wants to be his true self.
You know? They said the sigil would be broken when it's no longer needed. Why do you think it's no longer needed now?
That's a good question. I assumed because he was no longer trying to make excuses for Agatha. And that's what actually led him to his full power or something close to his full power. Like, it's almost like the wool has been lifted from his eyes type of thing. And once you're ready to see the world as it is, maybe you be able to actually defend yourself. You don't need to be afraid. You can fight back. I think the sigil was there to protect him from others, not from himself.
Okay.
And so maybe he doesn't need protecting anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's what it implies. Yeah, but I'm surprised how much is lining up with the comics now. I'm going to be shocked if it lines up completely. So I'm really wondering what other twists are to come. I'm hoping Teen doesn't take a dark turn.
No. That would be, for me, that would be a mistake. That would be a mistake if he turns out to be some sort of, you know, Mephisto agent or something adjacent to that. I think that would be a mistake.
Yeah. Shall I tell you about my Infinity Stone magic theory?
Absolutely.
Well, I've just noticed that all the different colors of magic line up with the colors of the Infinity Stone, which for anyone who's not sure what that means, those are the stones that are in Thanos' gauntlet that he needed all of them to snap and disappear half the world. But yeah, so Teen's magic lines up with the Space Stone. We've already talked about this. The powers seem to be more of the Mind Stone, which was blue when it was in the Tesseract. Or no, when it was in Loki's scepter. So anyway, yellow magic is, Lilia's magic is yellow. So that lines up with the Mind Stone. Because she's reading.
But her thing is time, though. No?
Yeah, time. I was thinking, so time is green, which I guess we haven't really seen Rio use green magic, have we? But
no.
But it would be like in that case, because Rio represents this cycle of life, death, you know, as the green man entity. So that's kind of time. I'm stretching.
Hmm. Yeah, that is kind of plastic man stretch.
But okay, red is reality, and that's Wanda, and that lines up perfectly. Purple is power, and that's Agatha, and that lines up perfectly. And orange is what we saw from Alice, and that's the Soul Stone. So I guess Soul Stone, because it's about like this family passing down magic.
I don't know.
I want to say yes.
Three of them are, but it's just getting more Mr. Fantastic as we go along. It's stretching. It's stretching. Reed Richards stretching.
Two and a half of them are perfect.
Yes, I will say that. But, you know, I think the stones were destroyed in this universe, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the stones in this universe.
But they could be, like, there could be still the primordial power
that's what I'm trying to work out in my head, is if they were destroyed, did the power disperse? I don't know.
But of course, you know, the witches have been around longer, centuries. Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
I also noticed that Evanora's coven uses blue magic as well, like Teen. So I don't know. There's got to be a reason they color code the magic. I'm keeping an eye on it.
Okay.
But yeah, we have four episodes left. There still should be Earth and Air trials, which would be Rio and Lilia. But like, I'm wondering, where will we get those two, or has the whole game changed?
I mean, it would make sense for Rio right now because they've been swallowed by the Earth.
Mm.
Right? So does she play a role in getting them back?
Yeah.
Is that her trial, you know?
There's a clip in the trailers that shows a Wizard of Oz theme going on. And I was wondering if that was Lilia's trial I was wondering if that was like the Air trial. I don't know. I don't know if that, maybe that's not a trial. Maybe that's some other new thing.
Right. No. Right.
But anyway, so, and then we have that two-part finale on Halloween, which is obviously going to feature Man Thing. See, I brought him up.
We'll see.
Shall we work through the feedback?
Yeah, absolutely. But again, this was a great episode. Just let's keep hope alive, folks. Let's keep hope alive.
Yes. All right. Do you want to read Mark's and we can take turns?
Sure, absolutely. So this is from Mark from Nevermind the Music. If you haven't checked them out, check them out. Great pod. Hey, Alicia and John. I mentioned this briefly on Discord, but figured I'd follow up with feedback via email now that I've heard your coverage of the last episode. After my pretty full-throated endorsement of the realism of the in-universe music in episode 2, some might be wondering what I thought about the rock band scene in episode 4. You might expect a long rant full of musical examples about how maybe the particular style of drum beat played by Rio is something all humans instinctively know, or how obviously generational memory means that Alice would obviously know an excellent piano part to her mother's song, about how the song was obviously so popular amongst all generations, even people who are hundreds of years old, that Lilia would know not only a really awesome vocal harmony, but also immediately know which of those vocal harmonies she should be singing, so as not to clash with the other singers or steal anybody's thunder. About how Jen's hipster new age clientele virtually assures that she'd be a bassist, and how Teen could have been assured that the guitar was in tune without having to tediously noodle while the others impatiently waited. You might expect all of that. Nope, I can't do it. That's all BS. And my comments about how much better it is when a musical arrangement seems realistic and peaceful for the performers in a TV show sort of don't matter here. I still stand behind them, but who cares? This basically didn't make any sense on those grounds. But I loved it because it was cool. That's it. That makes me a hypocrite. I'm sure it's not the first time I've had contradictory views about music.
Thank you for your feedback. But I do actually think the things that he said are all true. Like, I would assume that all the instruments would be in tune because they're set there for the trial, you know, so... I would assume that, yeah, obviously they all know this song very well because they keep talking about how famous it is in the witching community in particular. So yeah, I buy everything you laid out. It's not BS.
No, it's not BS, but I agree that it was cool. So who cares?
Right. Yeah.
It was cool. That's it.
You said the rule of cool. It
the
works
rule of
fine.
Cool. Yeah. We're going to use that. We're going to go by it.
All right, so Maureen D. said after episode 4, it's funny how with all the discussions about the quote-unquote Green Witch, I haven't made a connection with the Wicked Witch of the West. Will be interesting if we see a Green Rio at some point. And yeah, I responded that there is, because I said that there's a glimpse of the Wizard of Oz, and so there is an answer to that question in some of the trailers, if anyone cares to check. After episode 5, Maureen said, loved Rio's Wicked Witch laugh. Yeah.
That was great. That was great.
Yeah, she's good.
So, Abby. These episodes are too effing short. Like, give me more ASAP. Salem 7 are creep-tacular. Interesting lore change. We got to the 80s. She couldn't help. Or couldn't she? Rio's having a blast, seems to be enjoying this immensely. Teen, quote unquote. All right, bring it. Just like your mother, wink, wink.
Yeah, we all know what that means.
Yeah, and they are creeptacular.
Yeah. Yeah, I would love to see more of the Salem 7. I guess probably now that they're on the road, we will be seeing them again.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Davey Mac says, yeah, Salem 7 still giving off those creepy vibes. They even took it up a level. I dig it. And we got some Cabin in the Woods, not meaning the movie itself, but more movies that inspired it, and a little bit of Exorcist thrown into the mix. I haven't seen WandaVision since it came out and have not seen any of the movies where Wanda appears, so I could be wrong, but while watching this episode and Teen's powers manifest, I immediately went to Wanda and thought he was her son. Well. Mm.
So do we.
You are very much not wrong.
Yeah, we agree totally.
Yeah, and they are trying to tell us that. So they are either like outright telling us, and it'll be confirmed maybe next week, or they are messing with us on purpose.
Hey, so Athena and Jalea, what is Rio doing with Alice during all of this?
Crying emoji, yeah. that's a good
question.
We don't know. I hope that's answered.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. What's her excuse when she shows back up, assuming she does? Because we haven't gotten her trial yet. Aaron Kay, so from Radioactive Ramblings, our own, says, I'm convinced we are going to get a good flashback or two in the next episode. I'm keeping my fingers crossed for an origin story.
Whose origin story?
I mean, Lilia, for one.
Okay. I mean, Lily is the only one left, right? Or Wiccan?
Yeah, or Wiccan.
Those are the only two that we have left.
I still have more questions about Jennifer, but I guess they're not going to satisfy me in that way until episode 9 when Man shows up.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm going to be so excited if it actually happens.
yeah. Okay, Zatuichi. Is Teen's sigil no longer needed because he can defend himself now? That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'm going to read a theory from my friend Jessie, and then she has some corrections she recently added to it. But yeah, I shared this with you, Jean, and I know that you found it interesting. So she says,
yes.
So in the beginning, Agatha straight up tells Teen the road doesn't exist. I don't believe she's ever walked the road before. Now it is confirmed that he is Billy / Wiccan. When the coven sings the ballad to open the road, nothing happens until just before Teen starts losing his shit and runs for the basement. The door doesn't appear until he's screaming and running from the Salem Seven. Then he's the first one down the stairs. Every trial so far, it has been Teen to get it started. He found the invitation. He played the record. He found the Ouija board. It seems he put the sigil on himself. The sigil appears to be broken when Agatha acknowledges who he actually is. What if this whole time they've been on, quote unquote, the road, it's actually just been a construct of Billy's magic subconsciously manifesting to warp / create the world around them? Like, he had a goal before putting the sigil on himself, and his magic has been creating a way to reach that goal without him being aware. I know very little of the comics, so maybe I'm way off, but it feels like there's just too many connections between him and pretty much everything that's happened so far for him to have just tagged along. And she added to that more recently, my thoughts have changed a tiny bit, but the gist is still what I'm theorizing. I no longer think that the road doesn't exist, but I do believe he's been subconsciously manipulating everything up until now. Also, Wanda loves sitcoms. WandaVision was sitcoms through the decades. I think Billy also loves TV, but different genres, hence the different trials.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really great. And for a while now, I've wondered if Agatha has actually gone through the trials originally, that she actually walked the road. Because mm-hmm. I feel like the stories that we know of her, she allows to be said. She doesn't mm-hmm. correct, so people remain afraid of her. And so I too have wondered if she's actually done the things that people claim that she has. And walking the road is one of those things that I wonder if she actually did.
Yeah. Yeah, there was something she said in when they first entered the road that made me doubt for a minute, like, does she actually, has she actually been here before? Is she just making it up as she goes along? But then she was correct about the things that she did say. So what if it's like a shared delusion between her and Wiccan? Kind of she and Wanda were doing in Westview.
Right. It's possible. It's possible. I like this idea that Wiccan is actually manipulating everything, whether overtly or subconsciously,
mm-hmm.
that it's him that's doing to them what Wanda did to Westview.
Yeah. But then I wonder, yeah, all the stuff about Lorna saying that her daughter would be saved on the road, and then it seems to have happened, but then she died. So, yeah, I'm wondering what happens when they, quote unquote, die on the road.
Right. But good stuff. Good stuff to think about.
Any other thoughts or theories you want to throw out about this episode?
No. I just, again, I loved it. I'm loving the series, and yeah, let's hope that it continues this upward trajectory that it's on currently, because they're really doing a great job.
Yeah. Yep. We'll be back every week to walk you guys through whatever happens. And yeah, this is going through October with a double finale for Halloween. So our recap will come back out just after Halloween. And we're also covering the Penguin. I think probably like every episode or two, depending on...
Every other week we'll drop?
Yeah, probably something like that. Yeah. And we were just discussing before this, we are going to finally go see Joker 2. I'm no longer testing positive for COVID. And Jean, you're going to... you said you've heard from people who are like, it's not as bad as people are saying.
Yes. I've heard, like, it's not, the end of the world, and it's not a world beater of a mm-hmm. movie. So I'll be interested to see and hear what you think, and also to see it for myself.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we're going to aim for next week. Or maybe week after, depending on when we can record with all this other stuff. And also, I'm working on plans for a Pachinko one-shot. Pachinko just finished season 2 on Apple TV+. A lot of people in the Discord are calling it their favorite show of the year. So it's an emotionally devastating, but just incredibly made, acted, written, just such a good story about Korean immigrants to Japan over decades of time. So yeah, we're going to plan a one-shot, and we're going to have our Japanese historical expert, Nate, back to talk about the historical context for all the events.
Awesome.
That'll be coming up soon, too. And of course, the guys in Maryland are wrapping up Tolkien. I think they have like 2 feedback episodes coming out, because people just have so many thoughts and theories about this show. That's the Rings of Power. And of course, Spooktober has begun. So tying directly into what was covered in this episode, the Craft Spooktober special for the Woolshift Dust feed will be coming out just a couple days after this episode. And also this month, there'll be a History of the Evolution of Coven episode for subscribers with a classic Scottish folktale audio drama. And on both the public and subscriber feeds for the Lorehounds, there will be coverage of the Poltergeist film series for Spooktober there. And in the Canon Padawan feed for the Star Wars Canon Timeline subscribers, there will be a bonus Sith story from Legends about Darth Nihilus. But you can also look out for, in the next couple days on the public feed, Star Wars Visions, looking at 2 episodes that talk about the shadows of the Sith in the Republic. And things are busy on the Woolshift Dust public feed as well, ramping up to November with both Silo and Dune coverage. So Luke, David, and I actually recorded a Dune book episode yesterday. So yeah, that's going to be coming out in the near future. And Radioactive Rambling has started a book series as well. They are covering Red Rising about 3 chapters at a time, which is one of those series that I have never read, but have only hear superlative things about. So I'm definitely going to be catching up with that as soon as I can. And of course, never mind the music. You heard from Mark again today. And how would you describe the podcast, Sean?
Fun. I mean, they break down things that, you know, if you're not a musician or haven't studied, you won't know. But they do it in such an engaging way that it's really, it's just a fun listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you got the music angle, you've got the psychology angle. You guys got to hear Nicole on talking about Agatha with us last week. So gives you a taste. But of course, as always, Supercast and Patreon subscribers get early ad-free access to episodes, plus extra episodes like Second Breakfast and 11Z's, where we just released an episode covering the movie Prey. And as well as show guides with the biggest shows like Rings of Power and other little extras along the way. And we always like to shout out to our Discord server boosters who give our Discord, which is our main social center, all the bells and whistles, as well as our lore masters, which is our highest tier of subscribers. And like, they are the ones who really are helping us to be able to turn this podcasting thing into a more serious endeavor. Basically, the more subscribers we have, the more content we can produce. So we really appreciate you guys so much. As always, I pulled out some music. I got a new folder this time. It's a magical folder. Oh. It's a magical folder. It's appropriate. It's called Eyes Everywhere.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Thank you to our Discord server boosters, Aaron K, Tiller the Thriller, Dork of the Ninjas, Doove71, Athena Ajalea, Tina, Listu, Nancy M, Ghost of Partition, and Richard W. And thank you especially to our lore masters, Samartian, Michael G, Michelle E, Brian P, SC, Peter OH, Bettina W, Adam S, Nancy M, Doove71, Brian8063, Frederick H, Sarah L, Gareth C, Eric F, Matthew M, Sarah M, DJ Miwa, Andra B, Kwang Yu, Jedi Jedi Bob, Nathan T, Alex V, Aaron T, Sub-Zero, Aaron K, Dally V, Mothership, Gnarls, Kathy W., Listu, Jeffrey B., Elisa U., Fossi U., Neil F., Ben B., Charlotte M., Scott F., and as always, Adrian. Thank you all so much for making this whole podcasting thing possible.
Yeah, thank you. And before we go,
you must say,
Feige, you're doing a great thing. This series is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to keep doing great things.
What else can he do for you?
Recast T'Challa.
The Lorehounds podcast is produced and published by The Lorehounds. You can send questions and feedback and voicemails at thelorehounds.com/contact. Get early and ad-free access to all Lorehounds podcasts at patreon.com/thelorehounds. Any opinions stated are ours personally and do not reflect the opinion of or belong to any employers or other entities.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.